रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 60. सुमंत्र कंसोल्स मदर कौशल्या. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Like one possessed of an evil spirit, Kaushalya sat on the bare ground, trembling all over, faint and pale as one whose life breaths were escaping. All at once she turned to Sumantra and cried, "Turn the heads of the horses towards the forest and take me on the wings of speed to where Rama, Lakshmana and Sita abide. I cannot, do what I may, live away from them for a moment. Lead me, I pray you, to the dark wilds of Dandaka. If I see them not, I am sure to make the journey to the realms of Yama." She broke off, choked with tears. Then the aged counselor bent towards her all respectfully and said, "Lady, cast away from you every thought of grief at being parted away from Rama. Far be it from me to entertain any anxiety about how Rama would fare, what miseries he might undergo. Let not your sorrow waste away your life and limbs. It is all unmeet for you to lament when your godlike son is 100 times more happy in his forest home than you ever saw him at Ayodhya. Regret and repentance, sorrow or grief are utter strangers to his heart. Lakshmana is well conversant with the inner mysteries of Dharma. Hence he serves at the feet of Rama with restrained senses at all times and in all places. And verily, his reward is something beyond the power of speech or thought. It is but a dreary forest where Sita dwells, devoid of all human habitation. Yet she abides there as happily and fearlessly as in her palace at Ayodhya. Her thoughts, words and actions, why, her very life itself, are centered only in Rama. The rough forest life causes her no shade of anxiety. Anyone would swear that the forest was her only home and that she was born and made to live in it. She roams as fearlessly among the horns of cruel and fierce beasts as she used to do in Ayodhya in the pleasant gardens thereabouts. Her whole self is centered in her lord and husband. Her face, fair as the moon in her full, is never darkened by any cloud of care or sorrow. Her heart is ever absorbed in Rama. Her life breaths rooted deep in Rama. Devoid of Rama, the fair Ayodhya is a howling wilderness to her. And with him, the trackless wastes are fairer and more happy than Ayodhya. On their way, she ever and anon stops to inquire of Rama and Lakshmana about the hamlets, villages, towns, trees, rivers and their currents. Forest life seems to her as happy as a holiday in the gardens near Ayodhya. The child made a very wonderful remark in connection with Kaikeyi. He suddenly checked himself. "What an old fool I am. Were I to give out the very severe words that Sita used about Kaikeyi when the party left Ayodhya behind them, it would delight the heart of Kaushalya." So thought I in my ignorance. But this aged king and his wife would, of a truth, give up their ghosts if they were to hear it. I will manage to change the subject somehow. He pretended to recollect hard some very important thing that eluded him as cleverly. "It is a very curious remark. Stay, let me compel my treacherous memory to restore it. Oh, what a pity. This cursed old age has taken advantage of the sight of your grief to rob my memory clean of it." He changed the subject and discoursed of such things as would soothe and console Kaushalya. "Believe me when I say that Sita's beauty and radiance is but heightened by her long walks, by her free exposure to wind and weather, and by the sight of the wild beasts and birds in the forest. Like a full-blown lotus or the lovely moon in her golden orb, her face loses not in the least its natural grace and luster. And then the sweet honeyed speech of hers, her shapely feet that erstwhile were adorned with the juice of red alakta, are none the worse for it. They are of a lovelier shade of color, even like the red lotus buds, from constant trudging over the hill and dale. You never see her without her ornaments, so great is her love for them. It is a real treat to watch her gracefully walk along the rough thorny ways, her golden anklets chiming melodiously as she glides along. She grasps her hand in that of Rama and never shows the least fear at the sight of a lion or a tiger or an elephant. So there is not the slightest reason to grieve on their account. The story of how Rama carried out the behests of his sire will live among men as long as the sun, the moon, the stars course on their paths. Without the slightest trace of regret or sorrow or repentance, they walk in the path of the hermit and the anchorite. They feast delightfully on the rare and curious fruits, roots, and other woodland fare. Their hearts and souls are ever centered in carrying out the commands of His Majesty as best as they could. Sumantra, with his wisdom and experience of ages, tried his best to console Kaushalya and change the sorrowful current of her thoughts. But she would not be comforted and ceased not her cry, "Ha, Rama, darling of my heart! Ha, the flower of the line of Raghu!" Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.